Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Bucs win, Bucs win the Super Bowl. Hoist that Lombardi.
Prescott heaves it deep down the left side for Gallup. He's got it.
Caught by Evans. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Hand off to Elliott. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Nice job, boys. Way to hang in there.
There's your razzle-dazzle. Touchdown.
Interception, Buccaneers.
Yes, sir. Kiss that pig.
Holy guacamole.
Lamb, what a catch.
Fournette refused to go down.
Smacked right when he caught it.
Caught ball. Chris Godwin.
Caught. Cooper walks it in.
Woo!
There you go, Tom Brady.
Like Florida's
good. No, I don't think so. Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky Live in New York City. It's game day, baby.
Let's get it.
Are you in a System of a Down concert, or are you on a morning television?
Season opener. I'm so sick of guessing and predicting.
Oh.
And this team's going to be good. This is not. It's a real thing. Tomorrow morning we'll be like, wow, this team just lost as a fact, not guessing.
I'm sick of it, but we've got 3 more hours of it today leading up to that action. You okay with that?
Yeah.
All right.
It's
Peter Strager is here. Michael Robinson is here. My name's Kay Adams. We have a lot to get to. So without further ado, on this game day kickoff celebration to the 2021 season, let's hit the very first lead block of the year.
Lead block.
Well, let's go straight to Tampa, Florida. That's where it's all going down tonight. Raymond James Stadium. Great to see these faces early this morning. Sarah Walsh and Jane Slater out in Tampa ahead of the Cowboys and the Buccaneers kicking it all off. Sarah, let's start with you. What's the energy down there ahead of this Bucs one and the Cowboys one, of course, kicking it all off?
Well, Kay, the rest of the league is celebrating the kickoff of this NFL season. The Tampa faithful, they're still going to be celebrating a Super Bowl championship when this thing gets underway. It was a limited capacity here at Raymond James Stadium when the Buccaneers hoisted their second Lombardi in franchise history. Tonight, there will be a packed house here. The Buccaneers are asking that fans be in their seats at 8 Eastern. That's 20 minutes before the kick for what they are calling a historic championship celebration. We can tell you right now, this early in the morning, there are flags in every single seat in the stadium. Presumably, I think they're going to have them raise the flags, which is what they do here in Tampa. Now, Bruce Arians said all that pomp and circumstance, he said that's not for us. I mean, it is for them, but he said they will be in the locker room. They're not going to see any of it. The Buccaneers say they put this chapter to bed when they had their ring ceremony right before training camp kicked off. It's hard to believe, though, when they run out of that tunnel that they're going to be able to contain the energy in this stadium, because it's really just Tom Brady that it's just championship another year. But for the rest of the Buccaneers, this is a new experience, an incredible experience. And, Jane, it's also hard to believe the emotions for another franchise quarterback that are going to be happening tonight when it comes to the Dallas side of things.
Yeah, you couldn't have two fan bases more excited for this one, because we talked about COVID protocols last year. You really couldn't get into these stadiums and support your team the way you wanted to. And so I just was curious, what are tickets going for at this point? There are a few on vividseats.com. You're going to have to go all the way up to the nosebleeds, and they've got one for $172. And if you're looking for these lower bowls, you're looking at $1,500 is a starting price for some of these lower bowl single tickets. So that just gives you the sort of excitement, the demand for this game. And for Cowboys fans, the demand is to see their quarterback, Dak Prescott, who they haven't seen in 333 days. That's how long it's been since he's seen live action. And, you know, he had that setback in camp. It wasn't the ankle that he spent all offseason trying to come back from. It was the shoulder strain. But all systems go. It was Jerry Jones this week who on radio said he looks crisp. There doesn't look like there's a lot of rust. But we are still talking about this beat up offensive line, because you'll know this very well. Looking at that Super Bowl last year, what that defensive front was able to do against Patrick Mahomes, only completing 53% of his passes. He didn't have one touchdown and two interceptions. The Cowboy fans, the Cowboys team, they're hoping that's not the case with Dak Prescott, especially coming back from those two injuries, Kay?
And to Jane's point with the tickets real quick, that is not normal here in Tampa. That is the Tom Brady effect and winning a Super Bowl, because getting tickets previously, never a problem. It's a new era here in Tampa, guys.
Sarah Walsh, Jane Slater holding it down for us all morning long, all day long on NFL Network. 8 day chock full of programming ahead of kickoff to this one. You guys look great. You sound great. Yep. It feels like a great vibe down there in Tampa. We look and feel pretty great here, too, because we've got quite a workout in this offseason, guys, trying to pick holes in those defending champions. We really did some heavy lifting here at the breakfast table. So week one is here now. Shregs, I'm looking right at you. Yeah. Biggest obstacle for the Buccaneers to repeat this season beyond this game.
Well, beyond what Sarah's referring to, the ticket situation, which seems like you can't find one. I love that. Cool. I love it. It is great to be back, and it is great to see both of our reporters there before the sun even comes up, because that means football's back.
Talk about.
The Buccaneers have been circling this day, obviously, for an entire offseason, but so has every other team in the NFL, and they've got the Bucs circled. Last year's Tampa Bay run was incredible. They were 7-5. They went on a bye week, and they didn't lose another game, and they just finished it up, and everyone was relatively healthy. They lost O.J. Howard early, but for the most part, Vita Vea was in the lineup, then back. Antoine Winfield was in the lineup, out of the lineup, back for the Super Bowl. They had a healthy team. That is so uncommon. So my thing, the biggest obstacle is just history and themselves and just how difficult it is to stay healthy and maintain what you had last year, carrying it over to a full other season.
Yeah.
No one repeats in the NFL. It hasn't been done since 2004. And a lot of that is not because of complacency or because they didn't want it or because of locker rooms. It's just because, hey, we weren't the same team. We weren't healthy anymore. Something happened.
Yeah.
Knock on wood a million ways here. The league is now a week longer. There's now 17 regular season weeks. There's now another playoff game in the game. Here's how I see it. Last year, I picked the Chiefs to play the Bucs in the Super Bowl. I was right with that. I was wrong with the Super Bowl because I thought the Chiefs would get over the hump and say, hey, we're going to be the repeat team. What happened? Injuries happened. Look at the Chiefs' offensive line week one, and then look what they had to deal with in the final week of the season when they played the Buccaneers. Why? Because there was injuries all over the Chiefs' offensive line. Look at that left tackle situation. It went from being a former top three overall pick to Mike Remmers, who hadn't played that position. You go right down the list, every single position on their offensive line had to be changed because of injuries. This is what happens. It wasn't like Mahomes fell asleep and couldn't wake up the next. I just think it's really difficult. And O.J. Howard was a tight end. They had other ones. There's going to be something that comes up health-wise with this team. That's why it's such a difficult obstacle. And gosh, is that some way to kick off the NFL season? Someone's going to get hurt. Let's go. No, I just really mean it.
And if they don't get hurt, they might get sick. That's fun.
That's the thing.
Hello.
But that's the reality. I'm sorry. It's really hard to repeat.
Yeah. Peter, to your point, man, I mean, you cannot guarantee that type of health this year. You just can't. And then you talk about, you know, you got vaccinated players, unvaccinated players. You know, the world is opening up more. When guys aren't from the aren't at the facility, you can't just guarantee that, you know, COVID won't make it into your building. I think it's going to be tougher for them this year. And you mentioned something about complacency, Peter, and I think that's a real thing. You heard Sarah talk about, Tom Brady and Gronk, they're used to, you know, having to come back and be the top dog. But the most of this roster isn't. Most of this roster wants to go out there and see the names go up. They want to see the banners go up. It's an awesome experience. I ended my career after I won my Super Bowl, so I could do stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, it's a one-in-a-lifetime experience, and so I just hope complacency doesn't set in, because it's very tough to play 17 Super Bowls a year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, you're the top dog. Top. Every team is looking at you at the beginning of the season saying, that's the standard. That's who we have to beat. That's who we have to be better than. I'm telling you, Tom Brady, Gronkowski, they know how to deal with it. But the rest of the team, they got to figure that part out.
17 straight Super Bowl hangovers. I mean, that's a beautiful way to put it. 17 Super Bowls a year. And listen, the biggest obstacle, I'm with you, is 31 other teams. This is the NFL, and it hasn't happened in 17 years. And yes, it was Brady in 2004, but none of these other guys. Here's what I feel about the Bucs. They had a hell of a stretch run. I mean, they came running down the stretch. Let's not allow ourselves to think that this is some unbeatable Godzilla of a team. It's not. Peter, they were 7-5. I don't think that's an impressive thing. I know it's their starting point, but they weren't even sure they're going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They really weren't. They lost to the Nick Foles Bears. They lost to Jared Goff. They got embarrassed by Drew Brees almost retiring. And again, I take nothing away from them. They won everything at a hell of a run. But the playoff run, it's not exactly like they stomped people. Taylor Heinicke gave them trouble. They pulled the MVP off the field with a chance to beat him, Aaron Rodgers. And then they played a wounded animal in the Super Bowl. All right, this was not someone who won every single game like the greatest show on turf and just destroyed everyone. We got so intoxicated by the idea that they brought back all 22 starters. We kind of forgot that those starters last year lost some big games and lost some games they shouldn't have. And maybe they'll lose one tonight. This is not the greatest team of all time. It's the greatest quarterback of all time with a good roster, but do not think they cannot be beaten. There's 31 other teams that want to knock them out.
No.
Come on.
There's a reason this doesn't happen. To Peter's point, to everybody here's point, it's not even in your hands the entire time, but it hasn't happened in almost 20 years. It happened in 04. I mean, just ask Tom Brady. Tom Brady has won 7 rings. He's had 6 chances to go back-to-back and win Super Bowls. It's happened to him once. Back in 04, Brady's 27 years old. I just went and looked at the perspective of this. Vince Wilfork was a rookie the last time this happened. Asante Samuel was 23. His son, who just got drafted, is about to turn 22 years old. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores wasn't even coaching yet. He was on the staff, though. He was a 23-year-old scouting assistant. And Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, he was on the team, of course, and he still had 6 years in the NFL playing as a player left after that back-to-back Super Bowl win. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen for a reason. Now you throw in COVID, you throw in the evolution of the game in 2021. It'll be exciting to see how it starts tonight. We've got special programming all day long on NFL Network. NFL Now kicks off at 1 p.m. Eastern. Then we've got, I think, Fantasy Live at 5 p.m. Eastern, NFL Game Day kickoff. And it all leads up to 6 p.m. Rich Eisen, the full treatment. All of the stars will be there with Steve Mariucci, Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner. That one kicks off at 6 p.m. Eastern right here on NFL Network. It's a big day. We're celebrating. How are you feeling this morning? Let us know at GMFB. We're doing a deeper dive into Dak Prescott's game up next.
Oh, yeah, I got something for you on this.
Tell me.
What do you got?
Yeah, I got something for you. Dak is elite, man.
Okay.
I'll show you how. Elite. I'll show you why. Elite. Yeah.
Dak flipped the table.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Good Morning Football as we welcome in Tom Pelissero, who's excited and shot out of an absolute cannon on this game day. Thursday, leading up to the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. Tonight, you can see coverage of that and everything you need to know all day long on NFL Network. Tom, great to see you. Let's talk a little Cowboys. Yesterday on the show, we revealed our MVP choices. Mine was, in fact, Dak Prescott, and he is playing his first real football since week 5 of last season. How do you look this week?
Okay, Dak Prescott is the least of the Cowboys' concerns at this point. He took every rep in practice this week. No issues whatsoever coming off 2 ankle surgeries, as well as the shoulder strain. Dak looks like Dak right now. Now, that's also not to say that everything is perfect for the Cowboys offense. There was one throw I was told in practice on Wednesday where Dak and Amari Cooper were just a little bit off. But remember, Cooper also missed a lot of training camp coming off of his ankle surgery. Also, the Cowboys have been rolling a bunch of different offensive line combinations because of injuries. And more recently, the COVID situation involving their star guard, Zach Martin, who is not expected to play tonight. This is a team that lacks time on task together as an offensive unit. But I was told they had a couple of really good practices before they left for Tampa. They've put a ton of time through training camp into end-of-game situations. They are as ready as they can be to take on the defending champs.
Thank you so much, Tom Pelissero. We are looking forward to all of that tonight. They are ready. No Zach Martin, of course, a huge task ahead for the Cowboys and company. Thanks so much. And I know we have something you've been, cooking up?
Yeah, I've been cooking it up. The real Mike Robb report. I mean, look, Dak makes his much anticipated return to the field tonight in Tampa. In today's Real Mike Robb report, I'm going to break down why he was putting up MVP type numbers before his season ending injury in 2020 and why the Bucs will be such a tough test for him tonight. Look, guys, this is an epic matchup. I'm so glad our schedule makers put this game first, right? It's a test of matchup. It's a test of quarterbacks, a test of defensive philosophies. And I expect Dak Prescott and Tom Brady to have some big numbers on these defenses.
So awesome. That was a great job. I feel like we just had kickoff. That was incredible.
Was exciting.
One of the things Peter brought up earlier is that one way the Cowboys might win tonight is the matchup of their wideouts versus the Tampa secondary. We haven't talked about Michael Gallup all week. He can play a role tonight. Is that how you see it? Because I know Hamilton's going to get into this later. I just can't see Zeke running through that front all night. I just don't see it.
It's going to be tough. And I got a little prediction for Zeke a little bit later in the show. But it's going to be tough. You're right. And to Peter's point yesterday, you talked about CeeDee Lamb getting yak yards. Yards after catch is what we're talking about. With those pass rushes, those defensive tackles, Dak Prescott not having a lot of preseason work, I expect the ball to get out of his hands pretty fast and let these receivers go run and eat, because the secondary of defenses, they don't tackle that much during training camp. I would test them in their tackling come tonight.
I have fear, though, for Dak, having not played in over 300 days.
That's a problem, man.
With an offensive line that's patchwork right now and that pass rush coming. You think that Dak is nimble enough and figures it out to be able to still do what he does and dial in and drop it in the bucket?
I think he is nimble enough. I think Dak is a franchise quarterback, man. I mean, the ability shows it. His numbers show it. The contract now complements it. He's a franchise quarterback. So I expect Dak to do his thing. It's about Dak just when he's running, get down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your availability is your best ability right now.
He's going to be pushed.
If Dak protects himself.
He's going to be pressured mentally because he hasn't taken a snap since that way last year, week 5.
I mean, look at some of those plays I showed. He was getting hit as he was throwing.
So you don't think mentally he'll be thinking about that at all? Because I would have loved to see him get his feet wet a little bit.
I do think there's going to be some of that in there. But as a play caller, you call the plays to get the ball out of his hands. It's about getting Dak comfortable tonight. Mm-hmm. If Dak is comfortable, Dallas Cowboy fans, you're going to have a great season.
As we say hello on this very special game day, this very celebratory Thursday to my guy, Will Selva. It's a huge day. We've got the Bucks, we've got the Cowboys, we have our Super Bowl picks. Do you have a guess on who I'm picking to win the Super Bowl? It is not your beloved Niners, bud.
I think it's going to be the Chiefs because you did the sideline reporting for them during the preseason. That's who I think.
Wow. Good guess.
Something?
We'll see later on in the show.
Yeah. All right, can't wait. That is what we call a tease in the business, my friends. Either way, Kay, you and the guys actually do a segment called What If that has, I don't know what it has to do with, because it has nothing to do with TJ or JJ, but this would be a good time to roll the animation if we had it handy, because what if TJ doesn't play against the Bills, right? Well, Watt actually was back on the practice field. That'd be TJ Wednesday, after not participating in preseason games or team drills during training camp as he seeks a new contract. There's one person that thinks Watt is deserving of a big raise, and that's Ben Roethlisberger.
I think TJ should get whatever the heck he wants. He's arguably the best football player in the game right now, not just on defense, just in general. I've been through a few negotiations here with contracts. One of the reasons I took less money was for guys like him to get paid, and he needs to get paid. He deserves every penny that he wants and asks for. And so, TJ Watt is that guy that should get whatever he wants.
All right, Ben saying pay the man. Meanwhile, in New England, Mac Jones is the man getting ready to make his NFL debut as the Patriots starter when they take on the Dolphins. Jones will be the first rookie quarterback to start the Patriots season opener in the Bill Belichick era. That might make a young kid nervous, and in this case, you'd be right.
I think I'd be doing the wrong thing if I wasn't. But I think nerves are a good thing, but you can always be nervous, but you can't play nervous. So I've always said that. Just play. It's my first time out there, but at the same time, we've all been playing for a long time, and it's all of us together. So it's really not just a one-man show at all. It takes all 11 people, and I just gotta really just focus and just do my job in each play and just take it play by play.
Mac admitting that he definitely does have the butterflies, but you feel the butterflies whether you're a veteran or a rookie. All I know is that we've got nerves of steel in the studio in New York City. This segment hits me so hard, makes me say, oh, my Lord, thank you for blessing me, guys. Really, thank you.
Thank you, Will, for blessing us with MC Hammer lyrics. I think we look forward to tomorrow when you end the week by going for the Addams Family soundtrack and MC Hammer's contributions to that. We will see you then. In the meantime, why are we talking about MC Hammer? Because Hammer is our nickname for this gentleman. It's Matthew the Hammer Hamilton, and it's Hammer Time by DraftKings Sportsbook. This guy will give you his thoughts on some of the tastiest plays DraftKings has to offer. Hammer, you've been with us 5 years behind the scenes. You produce, you research, you breathe life into all of our segments. Now you have your own. We've been doing it all week, and we got kickoff tonight, and we got stars. Tell me you got something on DraftKings on a star plane tonight.
Yeah, well, I have one of the matchups that
you're
going to be watching very, very
Let's do
closely.
It.
Tonight, it's Zeke Elliott up against this Bucs defense. As I was studying Zeke and this Bucs stout front seven, it got me curious to head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook in order to check out the line for tonight's game. The current over-under for Zeke is incredibly just 53.5 rushing yards.
Wow. 53.5.
That's not, they don't take much of them, huh?
That's sad.
No, and to put in perspective just how low that is for Zeke in particular, he averaged 89.9 yards per game in his career, which is fifth all-time and ahead of Walter Payton. And they still have him at 53.5.
That's great, Howard.
He's really good.
And guys,
first game of the season.
I'm still taking the under.
You're taking the under.
Really? Minus 115.
Oh my, 53.5 under.
Yep.
Under.
Yep. Let me explain. I know we've heard a lot about the kind of shape that Zeke is in, and he's got his starting tackles back, but his best offensive lineman, Zach Martin, is still out, and he's facing the toughest front in the entire league. Let's take a look at what some other star running backs have done up against this Bucs front over the past 2 years. Look at this list, guys. Saquon, McCaffrey, Kamara, Aaron Jones. All these guys are Pro Bowlers. And none of them could even crack 40 yards against this defense when they have Vita Vea, Levante David, and Devin White out there. And that trio is really the reason that Tampa's been able to dominate up front the way that they have.
Those three guys?
Yeah, so those three have played a combined 20 games over the past 2 years for the Bucs.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many running backs have had over 50 yards over the 20 games?
Out of 20, I'll say
three.
Six.
Three out of 20. Over 50 yards. 20 games against this defense. So with those three on the field. So with everyone returning on this Bucs defense and with Zach Martin out, I just think it's going to be tough sledding for Zeke tonight. What do you guys think?
Big game for Dak and CD.
53.5 for the whole game.
The whole game.
I'm going over. So much unknown. The Bucs defense, I think, is a little overhyped. And 50, he could do that in one run. 53.5. I'm going to go over, Hammer. I'm going to defy you.
What about that stat with those 20-plus yard runs?
It's terrible. I'm terrible at this stuff. Don't ask me. What do you guys think?
What do you think?
I'll be wrong.
I don't see how anyone runs on this team this year. And I know that sounds so dramatic, but you add in this Joe Tryon, the first-round pick. He's going to be out there. We talked about Nacho earlier in the show. Man. They've got like 10 guys, and they rotate them, and they're always fresh.
You can't go for 56 yards rushing.
I don't see it happening.
I think Dak throws him his basically that Dak is going to throw to get guys out of the box. Then he'll get his yards. That's what I think. I don't think they start off running the football. They start off throwing.
So you're telling me Giovanni Bernard is going to have more like in fantasy? Am I benching Zeke Elliott for Gio Bernard? Is that what your expertise is telling me to do?
That's a good question. I could see them throwing the ball to Zeke a little bit more.
Come on,
really, when you look at that full screen that I had shown. They're not, the teams just go away from the run completely. You know, even while they bottle up some of these running backs, look at this. 8 carries for Saquon, 12 for Kamara, 10 for Aaron. The teams just get away from the run completely.
Hammer, wasn't earlier in this week this number was a lot higher and it was around 80 and then the Zach Martin news hits, it dropped to 50.
Yeah, no, that dropped it considerably. It did.
I'm jumping on it.
He's a great player, as you know, Kyle.
He is.
Yes, an excellent player. All I do is hype Zach Martin. That's part of my job. Hammer, we love you. We'll see you tomorrow. We're actually have to answer. Maybe Zeke goes 123 tonight and we will come right to you. Meanwhile, DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And tonight, new customers can bet $1 on any NFL game and get $200 automatically. Plus, new fantasy players can play free for the $1 million top prize when you make your very first deposit. Just use promo code GMFB when you sign up. It's all kinds of fun.
It is time to make our final prediction with our Super Bowl 56 matchup. The rep from the AFC, the rep from the NFC, and the winner. So, I'm going to start with my American Football Conference choice. I am going with the team that has improved the most this offseason. They were a playoff team last year. They completely overhauled their defense. I picked their second-round rookie as my defensive rookie of the year.
Okay.
They're as complete as it gets. I do believe, and I believe in Mr. Barry making the calls. I believe in Stefanski, and I believe in the run game and what they're doing. Odell's healthy. The Cleveland Browns are going to go.
Wow!
I really mean it. Something happened over this offseason where I just really felt like they addressed all of the problems and they have it figured out. I think they take down the Chiefs to get there and they'll be at SoFi Stadium. In the NFC, I'm going to go with the team that it, I just, I'm willing this for them. They've been knocking on the door for years now. I think it's the year they finally break that door down. I think it's going to be a Cleveland Browns Green Bay Packers Super Bowl. And then they get to SoFi, and then it's like, Rodgers, is it his last game? Oh, is his last time as a Green Bay Packer? Is he going to win? Is he going to lose? I think it is a storybook ending, which not many players have. I don't think that the book is done. The chapter with Green Bay might be. But I believe both teams so deep and talented across the board. I got to look at the quarterback when it comes down to it. Can Baker Mayfield make that play when you need him to make that play? Not yet. So I think Green Bay is going to take down the Cleveland Browns. That's right.
That's it.
The Green Bay Packers.
Title town!
They're going to make it out of the NFC, and they're not going to let the opportunity slip through their fingers. I feel very confident in this.
And Rodgers is going to scramble this year, huh?
He's going to actually go. Gets paid, and Aaron Jones joins the show, and it'll all be great. And then who knows? I will not predict where Aaron Rodgers will be after the season.
Might be a wrap.
I think
he's going to win a Super Bowl and leave, huh?
Right. Browns Packers is a fun Super Bowl.
That is a traditional. That is
so cool.
Great of like the 50s versus the greats of the 60s.
Go.
And then here we are.
Where do you go, Peashrakes?
There is one AFC team that I have rode with since the second that number 15 got there. And I have picked them every year since we've been on the show to make the Super Bowl. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs. I pick them every single year. Was it going to take him this year, though?
What do you mean?
You're
Mr. Chiefs.
The Bills got really good. The Browns got really good. I think the Ravens are a lot better than people think. I actually really think that the Titans have a shot to make the Super Bowl this year. But when it came down to it, no one's beaten Mahomes in a big spot yet. I am taking the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. Kansas City Chiefs are my AFC team. I think that this is one where they're actually not being picked by a lot of pundits. They hear it. They see it. They know what happened at the Super Bowl last year, so they went and they got 5 new offensive linemen to protect the most prized asset in all of American professional sports, and that is the golden child, Patrick Mahomes. He will get there again.
Woo!
Who will he face?
Who's he facing?
How about a team?
Uh-oh.
They've been there before, all right? They've been there before, and they were good. Got to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
They weren't great.
What do you mean?
Sometimes you gotta let it all out there. Sometimes you gotta trade some draft picks. Sometimes you gotta really need to just say, you know what? Screw it. We weren't good enough. Sometimes you gotta say, where's the Super Bowl this year? Oh, crap, it's in our backyard. Oh wait, we're playing in our building. And sometimes you have to invest. I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams.
Take it off!
NFC. NFC, this is it. This is the Super Bowl this year. It's going to be in SoFi Stadium.
Oh my gosh, Peter.
Ketchup mustard, high-scoring game for Monday Night Football. Love it.
Love this so much. And yet, this is the team I always pick out of the AFC. This is the team I really think is the best in the NFC.
Big Red versus McVay, Peter?
How can I pick this? This year's Super Bowl champion will feature a quarterback who has yet to win an NFL playoff
game.
I'm taking the Los Angeles Rams to take this thing home. And this guy to cement his place in NFL history. He's one of the greatest of his generation. He has not shown that yet on the biggest of stages.
Oh my gosh.
The Los Angeles Rams are winning the Super Bowl. McVay, Stafford, Donald, Ramsey, this is their year. Folks, you heard it here first. On September 9th, I will pin the tweet, Rams over Chiefs, Super Bowl 56. Mike Robinson, step right up.
Good job.
2 years in a row, the home team wins the Super Bowl.
Second time.
Oh, my gosh.
55 years of none of it.
Oh, man. Good job, brother.
Good luck.
All right, Mike. So, look, man, I'm messed up, guys. I'm really messed up.
I hear you. Talk about it.
Really messed up.
Talk about it.
Man, because my Buffalo Bills, in the AFC, I really think they're the most dominant team this year. And when I look at the past years when I did this and I, you know, had my, you know, who I thought was going to be in the Super Bowl and things like that, I was wrong. Very wrong. For the last 4 years, I've been wrong. Last year, I think I chose Green Bay and Baltimore. I forget who I chose the year before that, but I was always wrong. So, I want to see my Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. All right? So, I'm going to do a little reverse psychology.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to pick them.
What?
Right now.
What?
Because I've been wrong, guys. I don't want to hurt you. Okay? So, I'm going to pick for my AFC team going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to pick the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
All right?
Oh, Mike.
But that's just on paper. because my heart truly believes Buffalo is going to be there, but I don't want to sabotage y'all.
Okay.
So just stay there. Stay with me right now. Flip it to the NFC, okay? I really think Russell Wilson can take the Seattle Seahawks back to a Super Bowl. I really think he can.
Is there a but coming here?
But!
What?
Dwayne Brown didn't practice all, you know, he didn't practice all training camp. You know what I'm saying? You know, protecting Russell. He said some things in the offseason that pissed a few people off. I ain't gonna say no names, but he made some people mad up in that building. So, Peter, I think we were looking on the same paper, man. I got the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, my gosh.
Chiefs Rams.
As the NFC participant.
Wow.
In the Super Bowl. All right? Now, unlike Peter.
Yeah.
Okay? Unlike Peter, I think the winner comes out of the AFC. All right? Now, remember what I said earlier, guys. This is just on paper because I'm really a Bills fan.
What is that?
All right? So, when you see this jersey I open up, okay? In your head, say, he's really going for the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure, that's what they'll say.
Yeah, sure, that's what they think.
What do you got?
But right now.
The heel
it
turn!
Pains me to think. Josh Allen, look, man, don't get mad at me, dog. Okay? This is reverse psychology to get the Bills in the Super Bowl. But right here on paper, I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I think Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes gets another one.
Hey, Mike.
I really think it's going to be the Bills.
Wow.
That jersey looks really good on you.
It looks great. Does it? Does it?
Looks good on everybody.
Oh, does it? Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
It looks good.
Mike,
wait,
my bad.
Mike, I like that last one.
You look good.
That's the
edge. Oh, I'm going to take it off in a little
bit. Chiefs over Rams.
I'm going to take it off. I'm going to take it off in a little bit.
Take us home, Kyle. All right.
Shock and awe here on Good Morning Football. And
I feel so bad.
I want to echo what my colleague Michael Robinson said. I am in my head. So much so that I have changed my pick very recently.
Wow.
So much so that let me speak to our production staff. The graphics are obsolete. Don't even run them. My head is spinning that much. Don't run them. I will tell you right off the bat, I agree with Kay Adams in one sense. I think the Green Bay Packers are going to win the NFC. I think it's the one last ride. I think they're in. I think it's going to be like high school seniors, one more trip down the old Main Street to the Super Bowl. But there's a sense of objectivity we have to maintain here in Good Morning Football. There's teams that we like and teams that we want to win. And I can't believe that Michael Robinson, like Mr. Buffalo Bills, just took the Kansas City Chiefs. But I respect it because you are professional. And it's not about being a cheerleader. It's about who you think is really going to win. And guys, I have to be a professional. And I'm going to say right here,
wow!
I have on the Travis Kelce jersey. No one beats the Chiefs. No one takes them out. They're the best thing going. In order to beat this team, you got to ball up. You got to man up. Gotta rise up. You gotta mount up!
Oh.
You gotta mount up! It's the Bills Mafia! Mount up! You're going to the Super Bowl! Get this out of here! None of this on paper stuff! On the field, it will be won! Buffalo takes over Los Angeles! Start the parade!
Ah. They're gonna win.
Buffalo Bills!
No.
I'm going to the table! I'm going to the table right now! I will do it! I'll do it right now! Go to camera one! Good God, here we go!
Oh, I was about to say, dog.
I'll do it in February. Yeah. I will jump on this table in February. I'll do a twist. That's it. That's how it's done. The Bills beat the Packers in Los Angeles in Super Bowl 56.
AD,
that's my pick.
It's going to happen, man. It's all the good mojo. Mine was reverse psychology. I'm just wearing a different jersey.
You're doing it to help the Bills.
I'm doing it to help them. And you actually
just so
put
you
on
know.
The jersey.
Just
and help.
It's amazing.
Said that 97 times. It will absolutely not be fonted or received that way by
so
anyone out there.
Wax,
but right? You think the Chiefs are going to win this year, or you don't.
Don't put me on the spot.
Hey, do you think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Hey, do you think the Rams are?
The Rams, dude.
I think the Bills are.
Me too.
I will say, my family has disowned me.
Yeah.
I am blocked on social media by my mom, my dad.
Here's Chicago native.
My high school said I cannot no longer come back and speak to students. The city of Chicago
said,
Dalton's
not going to leave.
Don't come back.
You got to move the bear bouquet.
Wouldn't you love to see this happen?
Hell yes, I would.
We'll see. But more Good Morning Football after this. Colin our shot. And Brian Baumgartner's on the show. Wait, what?
Yes!
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, Kevin.
The Office!
If If only the internet would ever pay attention to the show The Office, it would really take off. Will, why are we talking about The Office? Because it's the best, and because we are so excited to welcome this next guest onto the show. Maybe perhaps best known as his portrayal of the charming, lovable accountant Kevin Malone on The Office. Guys, please welcome to the virtual breakfast table Emmy award-winning actor and comedian Brian Baumgartner's here. Wow, what's up, Brian? Good morning.
Good morning. We're back, baby. We are back today.
We are back, and we are obviously thrilled to talk to you. It's so fun, too, Brian, because we grew up with the old Got Milk campaign, and I remember Baywatch actresses and rock stars and Baumgartner. That's where we've arrived. I love it. Last month, the California Milk Processor launched its Never Doubt What You Love campaign. You are its spokesperson. We love this. We're into it. Tell us about the latest campaign from the same people who brought us Got Milk.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, Got Milk is iconic. And they pitched me this idea, which I just thought was brilliant, which was basically a play on cancel culture. I mean, trying to challenge people to not doubt the things they love. So I play reporter. I play like one of you. I go on the streets and try to convince people that the things that they love are bad, that grandmas are bad, that beaches should be closed forever, that puppies are evil, and have a lot of fun. And of course, the end result is people don't believe me for some reason. And yeah, that they come to the conclusion that yes, they should not doubt the things they love, the things that are good for them, like, of course, milk.
Milk. We love it. I'm going to ask you about the old dairy state and this guy in just a second. I came across a tweet late last night. Hollywood Reporter. Do you even know this about yours? This is wild. You were revealed to be the highest earner on Cameo, earning like over $1 million.
Wow.
Kevin.
You know, you can't believe that everything you read. Some things you can. Cameo has been, I think, an amazing site, an amazing place to go for people who are looking for a connection.
What's the craziest Cameo?
What's my craziest?
What's like the most outrageous ask for a Cameo?
Well, to me personally, I believe currently, this is unproven, but I believe I have proposed successfully to the most women in the history of the world. So I propose, they say yes, not necessarily to me, in fact, not to me, but yes, me, that is crazy. But I, you know, look, I really honestly don't view it as me. You know, during this time, especially when everybody was quarantined and people were looking for a connection between, you know, dad and daughter, sister and brother, girlfriend, boyfriend, sometimes service men and women stationed overseas, they would give me as a gift. But really, it was about a fond memory they had, you know, together watching the show, loving the show, or my character specifically. And that's really how I view it, is really, I just try to get in there and get out of the way. I'm going to not say anything about that.
I mean, I'd marry Kevin Malone. I'll tell you that right now. I want to ask you about another connection. Sure. Well, let's do it. You have a connection with this guy. This isn't the first time you've been on the show. It's the first time of your appearance, but Aaron Rodgers showed up in flip-flops, which is sus, but he did show up to training camp wearing this T-shirt. I know that you saw it, sir, because you tweeted about it, and you tweeted at him. What was your reaction when you saw this go viral?
Well, I mean, I don't think this is betraying anything. I was traveling back to the East Coast the night before. I mean, I'm aware enough of football about when people are reporting. I did not know exactly how things were going to shake out for him. And I woke up the next morning because I was back on the East Coast and it was late when he arrived. And I read the news that he'd arrived in Green Bay. And like many of you, assumed what that meant. And so I texted with him a little bit that morning. I was like, well, I'm glad, you know, things worked out. He doesn't say a word. Doesn't say a word. I'm at my parents' house. And at about, I don't know, I might be messing up the time, but 10:30 in the morning, my phone is in the other room and I start hearing ba-bing, 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 ba-bing. So I now know everyone who follows Adam Schefter because he tweeted out that first photo. And yeah, that's how I found out. And then I text, I was like, why didn't you say something? And he's like, yeah, I just didn't think about it anyway.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. So you know Aaron personally. Tell us about this friendship, how it came about. And is it true you didn't know who he was the first time you met him?
What?
Yeah, you could laugh, Peter, or whoever that was. I, yes, that is true. I was, it was my first year. You can edit the dates later. I'm sure this is not live. The first year that I played in the American Century Championship in Lake Tahoe, which is a celebrity golf event, and I was there. And I believe this would be 2008, the summer before he started for the Packers. Now, we sat down next to each other and there was stuff happening. And he started talking to me. I had no idea who he was. Now, I knew who Aaron Rodgers, the Cal quarterback, yeah. was, who was the backup for the Green Bay Packers. But sitting there, I did not recognize him. I didn't know who he was. And very oddly, the day we met, that day, there were TV screens up above, and it was the day Brett Favre said, "I'm not going to retire. I'm going to stay a Packer. I'm going to come back." Yeah. Now they eventually, obviously, that summer, shortly after, said, "Well, you're not coming back with us." And he still was the starter, but that under those circumstances, that was the day we met, and we played a lot of golf together, and have a good time when we can.
So good. I love that story. Brian, I told you off camera, I'm a huge Office fan. I think all of us at the table are. Every Tuesday on my podcast app, it comes up, the Office Deep Dive podcast, where you interview all the cast, but also the crew. And I'm going to bring this to our table here. Who is Steven Sox, and why is he significant for Good Morning Football and the connection we have to the Office?
Steven Sox, one of our unknown MVPs, he was actually a stand-in on the show, which is typically a job that one has for not that long. He and his wife Lori both worked as stand-ins for a time at the show. We saw his family be born, two kids, and his wife eventually did not do that job because of the two kids, but he was a stand-in on the show for 6 years, the last 6 years of the run, 3 through 9. Is that right? Does that math make sense? 4 through 9? And he is the commissioner of the Fantasy Football League, which is now in our 17th year of existence. We are very excited. And I tell people, and this is not a joke, but when we started, I believe it was season 2, the first full year we were working on the show together, we did our draft on a yellow legal pad. It took weeks, and we did this for a couple of years because we would draft a player and then pass it on to the next person, but that person might actually be working at that moment or had gone home for the day or, whatever. It took us weeks to get through the draft. And we've been doing it ever since. A big percentage, 12 team league, big percentage have been there from the beginning. Obviously, Steven probably joined in like season 2 or 3 and is now the only organized one enough to run our league.
Incredible. You guys just fighting over Amon Green and Sean Alexander and who can draft him on set. Ryan, we have so much more we want to talk to you about, but we are out of time. It is kickoff day. We love what you're doing with Milk. We love what you do with Chili. Please come back on the show sometime, my man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Big day today. I hope the Cowboys keep it at least close.
Bucks Cowboys tonight. Peter, who do you got?
Bucks big.
Bucks big.
Oh, I got Dallas by three.
Dallas!
Woo! Dallas starts rusty, but Dak has 14 game-winning drives. He wins it in the fourth quarter.
Dak in the fourth quarter. I think it is a very ugly, wonky game that the Buccaneers win 20-17, and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Highlights! NFL Network. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Woo-hoo! Kickoff hours from now. Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.